Well, I want to thank the Fraser sisters. I'm not sure how many of them are still Frasers. I know Cherith's not, but it's lovely to have you with us. Lovely to have so many of the family with you tonight as well. We welcome you in the name of the Lord, and thank you so much for your ministry here this evening. What a blessing it has been. I want to come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. First Corinthians chapter 15, just going to read a few verses, verse number 35, and we'll be referring to some other scriptures, but don't worry if you haven't a copy of the Word of God with you, I'll read it and hopefully it'll become clear as we progress this evening. First Corinthians 15, and we're going to read from the verse number 35. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it the body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. And we'll end there, and we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this evening. As I said, we're in the church here for another 3 weeks, tonight, next week, and God willing, the following week. And that then we'll be moving into the drive-in church down at the co-op yard on Sunday afternoon. So over these past next 3 nights, we wanted to try and encourage the people to come in under the sound of the gospel. And last week we looked at heaven and we asked the question, where is heaven? And tonight we're going to ask the question, what will our bodies be like in heaven? Next week we're going to look at two things. Will we recognize each other in heaven? What sort of relationship will we have with each other? Will husband and wife be husband and wife? Will mum and dad be mum and dad? What will it be like in heaven? So that's what we want to do next week. And then the final Sunday night of the month, last Sunday night in May, Pastor Dennis Lyle will be here, and Pastor Lyle is going to look at the great white throne of judgment. What a mighty subject. And so do keep the meetings in mind, do pray for them, and if you can support them, well, your support will be very much valued at this season of the year. There's so much talk and so much concern among so many, not just it used to be the ladies, but indeed the young men and everyone, about body image in 2024. 61% of adults feel negative or very negative about their body image most of the time. Sadly, 66% of children feel negative or very negative about their body image most of the time. There's such an obsession with body image in the day and age in which we live. I want to look forward to that time tonight when all of us who are saved tonight will have perfect bodies. We'll have those perfect bodies fitted for glory. Let me say something first of all tonight about the saving that is effectual. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The moment we're saved, we're completely saved. We're saved for time, and we're saved for eternity. Colossians 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him. If you're saved tonight, you're complete. You have everything you need to get to heaven. If you realized you were a sinner, you recognized that Christ went to Calvary and shed his precious blood to be your Savior, and you come as a sinner to Jesus, and by faith accepted him as your Savior, you're complete tonight. Everything you need to get to heaven you have tonight. I wonder, do you have Christ in your life tonight? Do you know Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? Because without that tonight, what I'm going to talk about is not really relevant to you this evening. But I want you to hear what lies ahead for the child of God. You see, whilst I say we're complete, here's what Paul said in Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time that now is, it's high time to awake out of sleep. And here's what he said, and he's speaking to believers. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Now, how can our salvation be complete? And then Paul says to believers, our salvation is nearer. In other words, there's something yet to come about our salvation. You see, you and I were saved tonight. We live in this old world. We still live in this world that's marked by sin. We still have these old bodies. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish. Like it or not, the outward man is perishing. We try our best to keep looking as young as we can, but the truth is we're getting older as time goes on. At least you're all getting older. I think I haven't changed a bit, but that's for another subject, no doubt. But the old body is decaying. And yes, we're saved and we're complete, but we read in 1 Corinthians 15, if you're still in 1 Corinthians 15, look down to verse 53. For this corruptible, speaking of this body, must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. One day this mortal will put on immortality. For that to happen, of course, we have to leave this scene of time. And here's the question in verse 35 that we read this evening. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Yes, this body one day will die. And we'll have a new body. And we will become immortal. And the question was asked in Paul's day, what sort of body will we have when we get to glory? That's what I want to think about this evening. There's much we don't know, but there's certain things that we can learn from Scripture this evening. The moment we die, our souls go to be with the Lord in glory, and one day our bodies too will be in glory. What sort of body will we have? Look at verse 50 in 1 Corinthians 15. I'll tie this together in a moment. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We cannot live in heaven with the bodies we have now. That's what Paul's saying. So we need new bodies. We need different bodies. Romans 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You see how it's future. There's a future day coming when you and I, as believers tonight, will have that perfect body. In that perfect place, the psalmist said in Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Can you imagine fullness of joy? And sometimes we experience joy, and sometimes we experience sorrow. Can you imagine a place that's just fullness of joy? Never shed another tear. Never feel another pain. Never take another tablet. Never have to go through any treatment whatsoever. What a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. Perfect place with a perfect body. Perfect love. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love or charity, as the King James Version puts it. We'll be perfectly loved by God. And we will love God perfectly for all eternity. Now, come over to Philippians chapter 3 if you have a copy of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. I'm just by way of introduction showing you that there's a new body coming. Philippians 3 verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. And Paul's speaking to believers here, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Isn't that difficult to believe? When you think that Jesus Christ left heaven's glory because he loved you so much, he suffered a cruel, horrible, awful death on that center cross. And that was only scratching the surface. It says it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when he paid redemption's price in full, we have no idea what Christ went through. And he did it for you tonight. And yet, you could be an enemy of the cross of Christ tonight, because you have never made peace through the blood of his cross. Difficult to believe, isn't it? That someone could be an enemy of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Verse 20, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're eagerly, expectantly looking for the Lord to come at any moment. Verse 21, and here's what I want you to see this evening. Who shall change our vile body, this body that we have, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. We're going to have a body that's fashioned like his glorious body. And so if we can find out what his glorious body was like, it'll give us some idea what our body is going to be like in glory this evening. For some, this will happen through death, as I have said. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who have died in Christ, they're going to rise again, and they'll have these brand new bodies. For some, it will happen at the rapture. The girls have been singing about when the roll is called up yonder. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Jesus Christ will come. And for some, they'll experience this transformation without ever having to die. Isn't that amazing tonight? But I just want you to catch this evening. We're going to have a different body for glory. You see the saving that's effectual tonight. We're saved, we're complete, but there's a future aspect. This body will be changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body. Then we see something amazing that's eternal. Our bodies will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36. We read these earlier. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And Paul takes us into the field to teach us a lesson. He says, when you plant a seed, something different comes. Yes, there's a connection between the seed and the plant that grows, but a seed doesn't grow. And Paul is saying, when this body is placed into the earth, planted like a seed, there's something new comes up. Yes, there's some similar features, but there's something new. This mortal will put on immortality. This will be a glorious body. This will be a different body. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, I know I'm moving you about a little bit. Let's come back over to it. What will this new body be like? Verse 42 says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. This new body will be indestructible. Our old bodies are subject to corruption, but we're going to have a body like Christ's body. Remember what the psalmist said about Christ, speaking prophetically. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. It'll be an indestructible body. It'll be an identifiable body. Verse 49 in 1 Corinthians 15. As we have borne the image of the earthly, that is Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, that is Christ. We're going to be like Christ. 1 John 3, verse 2. But now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to be like Christ. As we said in Philippians 3, verse 21, our body will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Our new bodies will be indestructible. Our new bodies will be identifiable. Our new bodies will be incredible. Verse 43 and 44. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. It will be glorious, it will be powerful, it will be spiritual. Does that mean that you can't touch it? Does that mean that it's totally spiritual and it cannot be touched? Again, remember, our body's going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Here's what Christ said in Luke 24. After his resurrection, Christ is in his resurrection body. He's in his glorious body. Here's what he said to the disciples. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. It'll be a body that can be touched. It has flesh and bones. Now, I read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but flesh and bones can. And we'll say a bit more about that in a moment. Our new bodies will be open to and welcome to the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit. No more battles with the old flesh. Of course, that will be done. You see, if these bodies are glorious bodies, if these bodies are new bodies, if these bodies are not flesh and blood, if there's no blood, there's no heart. No need for a heart. Never again will anybody have a broken heart, a bruised heart, a sad heart. There'll be no hearts. There'll be no pulse because there's no circulatory system. You know, for you and I to live, we have to breathe in. We have to breathe in air. Here's what we read of Christ in his glorious body. Remember, our bodies will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We're not guessing tonight. We're just following what Scripture says. Acts 1 verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? Christ is about to ascend into heaven. This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Christ, in his resurrection body, he ascended up beyond the atmosphere. He had no oxygen tank. He didn't have something there that would help him to breathe. You see, in the resurrection bodies, we don't need lungs. We don't breathe in air. We have no blood, as I've said. It's a real body. You can touch it. It's a bloodless body. No heart, no lungs, no circulation. Air is not required. Acts 1, we read that Christ was on the earth for 40 days. We do not read that he ever slept. We do not read that he stayed anywhere. You see, there'll be no sleep. This body won't need any sleep in heaven. Revelation 21, verse 25. And the gates of hell shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Revelation 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. See all the things that we won't have. We have no heart because there's no blood, there's no circulatory system, there's no pulse. We don't need air. The Lord Jesus was able to ascend right up into heaven without any oxygen tanks, without any help to give him air whatsoever. There was no sleep needed because we would never be tired. We'll never be exhausted again. We'll never have to lie down and sleep because we can go no further. You know, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13, the Lord said, meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. This body won't need food. There'll be no need for food to sustain the body. Now, let me point this out just in case someone would say something to me a little later on. Luke 24, verse 36. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they had seen a spirit. He said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. We've already mentioned that this evening. What happens next? Remember, he's in his glorified body. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. He ate in his glorified body. And here's the thing, we don't need food to keep us going, but we can still eat in glory. We will eat for pleasure. Do you remember what the Lord said in John chapter 21? He was on the shore again in his resurrected body. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. And the Lord Jesus ate the bread and the fish on the shores of Galilee. Now here's a verse in Revelation 22, verse 2, which puzzles some people. We're now right into heaven. And here's what John says. In the midst of the street of it, and on the side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. How would you need healing in heaven? Sure, there's no sickness in heaven. That word healing means therapeutic. And again, the idea is that you can eat these leaves and they're not to keep you alive. They're just to add to the blessing of heaven. The body in heaven will be a real body. No heart, no blood, no pulse, no lungs, no air, no sleep will be needed. We can eat, but we don't have to eat. Let me read to you John chapter 20. I think you'll know what happened on resurrection morning. The first day of the week, John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have led him. They think somebody has stolen the body of Christ. Verse 3. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. It seems that John was that wee bit quicker and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, and what not in. And you don't fault him when you come to a grave and the stone has been rolled away. You'd be a wee bit nervous yourself. But of course, Peter, he's the fellow that always put his foot in his mouth, wasn't he? There's no hesitation with Peter, verse 6. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went in unto the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? You see, when someone died in the day and age in which Christ died, they would take these cloths, they would be soaked in an anointment, a liniment, they think they called it. These pieces of cloth were about 2 foot by 1 foot, and the body would be wrapped in them right up to the neck, a little bit like what you would see in a mummified body. And then there would be a napkin put around the head. And when Peter goes in, he sees the clothes lying the way they were, undisturbed. And that which was around the head of the Savior sitting by itself. And the only way that could have happened is if Christ just come out through the folded garments and never touched them. In his glorified body, he could walk through solid things. We know that the angel came and rolled the stone away. The stone wasn't rolled away to let the Lord Jesus Christ out. The stone was rolled away to let others in. Because Christ just walked straight through that stone in his glorified body. Let me read John 20, verse 19 again to stress this point this evening. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were gathered for fear of the Jews. Now remember, the door's shut. They're scared of what's going to happen. Christ has been crucified. They're terrified because they were known as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they're hiding in this little room, and the door is shut. And of course, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them. Nobody had to open the door for him. He didn't have to knock the door and hope that someone would let him in. He just walked through solid doors, solid walls. Glorified body will not be limited by solid items. We will be able to walk through walls, because our body is going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. In Luke 24, verse 39, the two on the road to Emmaus, and they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he set at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. He could just disappear out of their sight. He could travel 100 miles in a split second in his glorified body. Think of his glorious body. Do you remember when Mary spoke to him at the tomb? Let me read these verses to you. You'll know them very well. Remember, Christ is in his glorified body. If our body's going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body, that gives us some teaching what our bodies are going to be like in heaven. John 20, verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Remember, her eyes are filled with tears. She's not thinking straight. Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast led him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. Just had to speak her name. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She knew his voice. We will have our voices in heaven. I've talked a lot of things we won't have. Do you remember the Lord said, Handle me and see. We will have our face, our hands, and our feet. I would suggest this evening they'll even be the same racial identities that we have on earth. Now, before you say, how do you get that? Let me read to you from Revelation 7, verse 9. Remember, we're in glory. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. And again, that's just, I wouldn't be dogmatic about that this evening. What age will we be in heaven? Pastor Willie Mullen used to say, if you have a child who has passed away, you'll meet him as a man in heaven. And I would suggest that's right this evening. I would suggest that if we're going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and again, I'm not being dogmatic, Christ was 33 years of age when he was crucified. Would that be an indication of the age? Remember, there's no age in heaven. There's no age. But what give us an idea of what we'll be like when we get to heaven? We will keep our identities in heaven. Matthew 8, verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west. Listen to this. Sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We will keep our identities in heaven. I'm going to be still Ian Wilson in glory. We will not be subject to decay, death, or suffering. No heart, no blood, no lungs, no need for air, no need for sleep. Able to travel at instant speed. We can walk through solid objects. We will be able to eat, but we don't really need to eat. We'll still have our names. And I know parents struggle sometimes with what name to give a child. And it's good to pray about it and think about it because they're going to have that name for all eternity. Going to have that name for all eternity. As I say, you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. It's still Abraham, still Isaac, and still Jacob. I hope I haven't confused you this evening. The Lord Jesus said, Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. I'll be Ian Wilson in heaven. I'll have a different body. I'm still going to be Ian Wilson in glory. And you will be you in heaven this evening. Here's what John MacArthur said, and we're nearly finished. A body fit for the full life of God to indwell and express itself forever. A body that can eat but doesn't need to. A body that can fly through space and go through walls. A body with no time limitation, no age. A body exalted to all that God had in mind in the creational potential. A body that is ultimately satisfied, knows no pain, no tears, no sorrow. No sickness, no death. A body of splendor. A body that shines like the moon and stars, according to Daniel 12, the promise to the Old Testament saints and their resurrection. A body that's as bright as the brightness of the noonday sun. A body that shines like the sun in its strength. What an incredible thing to think about it. What an incredible thing. Joni Erickson Tada, I think many of you will know something about her story and the severe disabilities that she has. She said this, I still can hardly believe it. I, with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, gnarled knees, no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body, light, bright, and clothed in righteousness, powerful and dazzling. Can you imagine the hope this gives to someone like me? No other religion, no other philosophy promises new bodies and minds Only in the gospel of Christ do hurting people find such incredible hope. Anticipating heaven doesn't relieve the pain, but it puts it into perspective. Our pain is a temporary condition which will result in greater glory in heaven. See the saving that's effective. We're complete tonight. But we look forward to that day, that redemption of our bodies. You see something amazing that's eternal. We're going to have new bodies. Let me finish off very quickly with someone that's excluded from this. You see, in Luke 16, we read about the rich man. And it says he died and was buried, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And here's what he went through, and I'm not going to expand this too much this evening. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He had no peace. And he cried, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." No peace, no comfort. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, as they which can't would pass from hence cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. You're there for good. There's no peace, there's no comfort, there's no hope. What will heaven be like? What will we be like in heaven? Tell me, are you going to be in heaven? Do you know Christ as your Savior tonight? What will eternity be like for you? When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by his grace I shall look at his face, that will be glory for me. Will it be glory for you? I can't put it any simpler this evening. We're looking forward to heaven. Yes, we know where it is. We have some idea what we're going to be like. No pain, no tears, no sorrow. No suffering, no hurt, no death. Nothing in heaven that will ever make us cry again. Where will you be for eternity? Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for all thy goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can say, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Lord, tonight we can honestly say it's great to be saved. It's great to have this hope in our hearts tonight. Lord, to know that one day we're going to see Christ and we're going to be like him and we're going to be with him for all eternity. But Lord, there may be some here tonight. Lord, as it stands, they have no hope tonight. They have no assurance tonight. They have no peace tonight. Lord, will you awaken them to their great need this evening? Lord, we pray that as the girls were singing earlier, that they'll be able to say, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Speak to hearts tonight, for it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing that hymn in closing, 542. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore will through the ages be glory for me. And God's people, sing it out this evening as if you really mean it tonight. We'll stand to sing after we get the introduction. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for many here tonight who can honestly say, that will be glory for me. We thank you indeed that the Lord is bringing many sons to glory. But Lord, for those who are out of Christ tonight, that's not true. And we pray for such this evening, that they too may become part of the family of God, and one day stand in that great number when the roll's called up yonder. Lord, do part us now in thy fear and with thy blessing, and grant us homeward journeying mercies, for it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen.